Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, Baltimore Positive. We have no Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week because we thought we'd be playing Orioles League Championship Series baseball, but alas, it's just a football week around here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well as the Oyster Tour, brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions and Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. All of that'll be coming your way in the new and improved BaltimorePositive.com. New and improved football team, 4-game winning streak, big victory in a moral victory in my neighborhood because losing to Washington in anything is a heresy around here. I remember when they had a football team that sold out and we didn't have one, noses pressed up against the glass. But nice to know some Ravens fans probably made some money, as well as the organization themselves, scalping tickets to former Redskins fans. There were a lot of burgundy and gold up north. Luke Jones was in the Little Hobbit press box in the corner there, the Kevin Byrne press box at down at M&T Bank Stadium on Sunday, monitoring all of the burgundy and gold action. I tell you what, dude, really good football game. I mean, competitive game, but the Ravens are good. And I guess aside from all these other bad teams and Cleveland's out here and guys getting hurt in Detroit and other things happening, I like the way the Ravens smell right now at this particular juncture in the season and the way it's kind of all coming together. And I think so does most of the rest of the national media at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think good is selling them a little bit short. I think they're really good. I think they're looking like a great football team. I think they're making a strong argument, other than, of course, the inevitable January Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid thing that will be there in January, most likely. They're looking like they could be the best team in the league, quite frankly. If you just take the last 3 or 4 weeks, especially, and knowing how much this is a week-to-week league, this is why. As much as the 0-2 start was unsettling, you still had to keep the proper perspective that you went on the road and lost to Kansas City. Yeah, the Raiders' loss looks inexplicable, but how many teams around the league do we say that about every week? The league is crazy. There's something that happens every single week. There's at least one result where you just scratch your head. The Ravens were that result in week two. But since then, we've seen their offense just completely take off. Of course, running the ball with Derrick Henry early on for the Dallas game, talking about that in the Buffalo game, their passing game not needing to do as much. And as you and I talked about it, it was going to come a time where defenses were going to really sell out to stop the run. And I think we've seen that the last couple weeks. Derrick Henry in the first half of the last couple games, mostly contained. Not bad, not a non-factor, but certainly not the driving force. And lo and behold, we've seen Lamar Jackson in the passing game just completely take off over the last 2 weeks. And then you get to the second half, and Derrick Henry helps you close out the ball game in a major way. So, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, multiple players, including Lamar Jackson, are calling this a pick your poison offense. And let's be clear, let's not get caught up in the moment. We've seen this offense look dynamic and balanced and explosive via the run or the pass in the past, but it does feel more and more with the arrival of Derrick Henry, with the emergence of Zay Flowers, with what Isaiah Likely has done, with the reappearance of Mark Andrews the last couple weeks. The burden feels less on Lamar Jackson than it's been in previous years, and it sounds kind of silly saying that because he's still putting up absolute monster MVP like numbers. So this is a hell of an offense right now, and there is no one set way to stop it at this point, acknowledging, okay, they haven't faced the toughest slate of defenses in the league so far, but you put up 28 plus points in 4 straight weeks like the Ravens have, you're doing something right. So they needed to, because we know that their passing defense remains a work in progress. Jaden Daniels had a heck of a day. Lots of respect expressed for him in the post-game locker room, but at the end of the day, just too much Ravens offense for Washington to handle, and resulted in a 30-23 win and a fourth straight victory for the men in purple.
I'm going to give them all flowers at this point, including Zay Flowers. But the Washington defense, I mean, that's not anywhere near a championship caliber defense. And I think in a different world, it would have been a more competitive game, although it was a 10-point game and they were in the game and were they going to cover? Were they not? Was the line 6.5? Was it 7? We can go through all that. But For me, the Derrick Henry thing is the thing we got to start talking about, and the offensive line, because we spent 8 months talking about the offensive line. Is it going to be good enough? Can it hold up? Where's McCary going to be? What are they going to do with Voorhees? Is Rosengarten going to get in there and be a starter that they thought for 6 months when they talked about him, whether he was going to be a factor guy on the field? Because we've seen how the first and second round rookies over 30 years of the Ravens, sometimes they play, sometimes they don't, sometimes they disappear. In the case of, I believe it was Terrence Brooks, I try to come up with the names of the guys that disappeared. I mean, Sergio Kindles and guys like that. But Rosengarten is one of those guys, as well as Linderbaum, and we'll talk about him in regard to the offensive line and the way that they've really deftly drafted over the course of years to fill slots, fill needs, trade for Roquan Smith. I mean, all the things that they've done. But figuring out this offense after drafting for J.K. Dobbins doesn't work out. Gus Bus, a guy, but not the guy. I talked about Derrick Henry for years. We laughed. I actually put up a 2-year-old tweet of mine or Facebook status of mine saying, if they only had Derrick Henry, we won't know because it was after the trading deadline. Let's start with him. And then, because we talked Lamar the last 6 years, but Derrick Henry, 6 weeks into this,
He's only been MVP twice, but
but we'll do that in the next segment.
go ahead.
But he's been MVP twice without Derrick Henry and has had his feelings hurt in January without Derrick Henry. And I think a lot of weeks, regular season games, he's had to be the running back, although he's insulted when you say that about Lamar Jackson. I've said all along, if they had a dude, and you were sort of anti-dude because of the money, because of the industry. I got to put you with Chad Wiesling one day, the agent for Josh Jacobs and running backs, and saying, how valuable can a running back be? How valuable is a running back in modern offense? How much do we have a bell cow? Like all of that. And then there's Derrick Henry just being almost as much as Lamar, a one of one, a very different cat. I remember seeing that 10 years ago. My wife was fighting for her life, and I'm watching this guy from Alabama just run, and nobody wanted to tackle him. Now we're 10 years into this, and he's ours. And the question was, maybe not enough tread. He's a little older. How many runs does he have in his body? I don't know that I'm feeling that when he's bearing down on you in the fourth quarter, looking fresh, fresh. He looks fresh. He doesn't look 31 and old and beaten up. He looks like he wants to win a Super Bowl. The Derrick Henry thing, I don't think it can be understated how brilliant a move it was, not just because I said so, but the fact that it's working out. It might not work out in January, but right now, this is what Lamar's always needed. And I saw Mark Ingram running around doing his college game day and all that. And when I go back to Mark Ingram, this thing was better with Mark Ingram than it was with anybody else. And now I think we're going to see it's better with Derrick Henry than it could have been with Josh Jacobs. No offense to Chad Wiesling or any other running back. But he's a different kind of cat. And in this offense, pick your poison. There you go. I know the poison I don't want. Derrick Henry rushing the ball with the Ravens with a lead at home in the fourth quarter. I don't want that. That's not the poison I want.
Fair enough. Well, but you also need to get to that point. And again, I'm going to continue to stress the Ravens have run the ball over the years. Everything you're saying is true, right? I'm not
But
disagreeing
Lamar
with that.
has had to be a much bigger part of it than
Okay,
DeCoy, especially when they're behind.
but this team also had 3,000-yard rushing seasons. That was always my point. My point was not necessarily thinking they needed a major dollar investment in the running back position because they had led the league in rushing 3 of the last 5 years and had done that. That was always my point. I'm not surprised to see Derrick Henry doing what he's doing in this offense. And by the way, Derrick Henry would tell you, this isn't like him taking them to the next level. The Ravens offense is also taking him to another level that he hasn't been in 3 or 4 years. And I don't mean that he w wasn't good anymore, but it's a sense of he has a quarterback that is as dynamic as he has now. All of this, and this is why I really don't even want to make it about one player other than Lamar Jackson's the MVP of this offense. We know that he's been MVP of the league twice in the last 5 years, but it all complements it's they all complement each other so incredibly well that Derrick Henry's getting better looks and lighter boxes than he's gotten in the past. And then On the flip side, when teams start to sell out, trying to stop him after he ran over the Cowboys and ran over the Bills the way that he did, then things open up. So it's all very complementary. It's all very dynamic. And again, for me, it was, this wasn't about, oh, you need a certain prototype feature back in January. It was, you just needed to be more well-rounded and more dynamic and more, less predictable. And I think that they're doing all these things. And yes, Derrick Henry's the best running back they've had since Ray Rice in his prime, and obviously completely different skill sets, but we understand what we're talking about here. So it's working out beautifully. It absolutely is. You need to keep that rolling because any move that they've made, whether we're talking about running back or changes on the offensive line or defensive personnel or coaching changes or coaching additions, bringing in Dean Pease as an advisor, this is all about January, right? Where the Ravens are right now is not some unbelievable, uncharted territory. As much as the numbers are eye-popping, I can go back and show you a stretch of five or six games last year when they scored 30-plus points the way they're doing right now. They averaged 200 passing yards and 200 rushing yards per game back 5 years ago. So they've had these periods of time. But yes, when you add a back like Derrick Henry, when you're starting to get the emergence of Zay Flowers, who's looking like the best wide receiver Lamar Jackson has had, with no disrespect to Hollywood Brown, who was better than some people give him credit for in this town. But I mean, Zay Flowers is looking like a very legitimate number one wide receiver. He's not the 6'4" jump ball kind of guy, but boy, is he dynamic and can he make people miss? And he is, so difficult to stick with in coverage and all the things that he can do. And it's really coming to light here
He
these
can be a
last
running
couple
back for
weeks.
them once a quarter, too.
Right. I mean, that's the thing, right? You see him run jet sweeps. You see them, he just flat out runs the ball, once a game, something like that. I mean, you can do so much with him underneath and intermediate. I think there's still meat on the bone for the deep ball for him. Not that. We know Lamar's not the best deep ball thrower in the National Football League, but if a guy gets as open as Zay Flowers is capable of getting open, he'll hit him, even if it's not the most perfect throw. So I just think all of this is complementing itself so well. But when you do add Derrick Henry and you have that ability to be able to pound the rock and just completely kill a team's will, or in the case of what happened on Sunday, they just held on to the ball at the end, right? I mean, Derrick Henry hits another long run that helped them end the game in victory formation rather than giving Jaden Daniels and Washington one more chance. No, it's just making everyone better. So I just think all of this is complementing itself so well. And to your point, before Derrick Henry, before Lamar Jackson, before Zay Flowers or Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely, or how about Rashad Bateman, who's, back-to-back games where he set career highs or not career highs, season highs in receiving yardage. We spent so much time talking about the offensive line. And Derrick Henry, when he was talking in the post game, he made it very clear. He said over and over, he was trying to stay humble, and he wants this offense collectively to stay humble. But he went on to say, let's give some love to the offensive line. I mean, there were so many questions and there was so much noise about them. And look, first couple weeks, it looked dicey, right? It didn't look so great at times. But the last couple of weeks, that talk is really kind of that's kind of gone by the wayside. It's less and less chatter. Yeah, some questions about what was going to happen at left guard, and McCary stayed there, even though Voorhees was healthy and active this past Sunday. But I mean, they're playing at a higher level, and they're playing with more confidence, and they're benefiting from Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the backfield. So again, all of this is related and all of this is fitting so well right now. And that's why this offense collectively is looking so dynamic. Yeah, it begins with number eight. I mean, you're talking about, for my money, the second best quarterback in football. I think at some point in time, we need to just say that because I mean, that's what it's been. I mean, Mahomes and then it's kind of everyone else. But I think Lamar headlines the list of everyone else, right?
Well, I
In
don't want to
terms
talk
of
about Josh Allen after what Buffalo came in here and did 2 weeks ago, right? So we're not going to talk about him right now.
and I mean,
And
look.
he doesn't have the offense that Lamar has. He does. I mean, when we talk about Lamar now, it's kind of like talking about Joe Flacco back in the day. Who's he got around him? Lamar, you could talk about Lamar third or fourth at this point because he has star players around him. Where Josh Allen, and we're still talking about him losing Diggs, right? We're still talking about the guys he doesn't have anymore. And That matters a lot. I mean, Zay Flowers matters a lot, and and I'm not being disrespectful to Lamar, but Derrick Henry's going to come be a big part of this conversation as long as he's there. Because if Derrick Henry got hurt, this is a different team. I think if Ronnie Stanley gets hurt, this is a different team. They are really healthy, put together. Stanley's playing better than I thought he could play. Linderbaum's turning out to be an all-pro. Rosengarten's turning out to be a starter, which on the field, fine. Other than the yips they have and a holding call here and a jumping there and a formation issue, which is, I'll use John's a lot. We're going to get that cleaned up. We got to get that cleaned up. They don't have to clean anything up when they're winning every week, but if we're going to bitch about things, it's not about who's playing where on the offensive line. I'm blown away that Ronnie Stanley has made this arc in his career, because I haven't seen that with weight-bearing injuries on big men very often, who are gone for 2 or 3 years at a time and come back at 30, 31 and can get out there and actually do it. So hats off to him on that. And I think the general sense of their health, the general sense of after watching Aiden Hutchinson, after watching teams like this team here go by the wayside for 2 full seasons when half their team got hurt, the health. Even if Roquan Smith isn't playing great, even if Kyle Hamilton's trying to take guys' heads off and he's going to get fined, like they're out
It's a
there,
legal hit.
they're out there and they're performing, and they're performing at the level they were drafted at. They were performing at the level we talk about them in the offseason as Johnny Bravoing them and saying this would be ideal. Now, maybe not Marcus Williams, to some degree, but for the most part, even Tucker kicking straight, they're all doing what they're supposed to do the last 4 weeks. Therefore, they've won 4 games in a row, and that shouldn't shock anybody. We've talked about them all offseason as being a team that was capable of winning 12, 13, 14 games. But when you lose two to start with, you can only win 15 to start with. They've stacked up four, and I don't know the next time they're going to lose. The next time they lose is when they're going to have stupid penalties or bad, stupid turnovers. Because they're not going to be real good at beating themselves if they line up man on man, because they're a better football team than most teams they see.
Yeah, and look, I mean they're going to make their mistakes. I mean every team does. I mean you can go and look at Kansas City. I mean since week one they've had their issues inside the red zone. I mean the Ravens since
But
week
when those
one.
mistakes cost you an L to the Raiders and we talk about it 5 weeks later, I think they may have moved past that. You know what I mean? Like, clearly they have. They dusted off and won for a month. It's
Sure.
impressive. John's imp it's impressive coaching. It's impressive preparation. It's impressive all the way around.
No question. I mean, it's why I'm talking about them in terms of potentially being the best team in the league. I mean, that's what they've looked like over the last month. And look, it's we, you know, we're through week
Are they number
six.
one on your power rankings?
I mean, I don't do that, but I mean, they're right there.
That's
I
why I'm
mean,
laughing out loud. I agree with you.
give.
If I had to have power ranking this week, I guess I'd put Kansas City at one, because you just can't, because they haven't beaten them.
Yeah, Minnesota's been outstanding. I mean, really, really good. But I mean, the Ravens are right there. I mean, how could you? Again, if we're just going to go off a base of what win loss record is, then power rankings are pointless, right? It's just putting the standings in a list of
The only
32,
power
right?
rankings that matters, where's Pittsburgh, where's
Yeah,
Cincinnati, right?
exactly. Well, and there you go with that. But no, I want to go back to something you just said because I mean, this is where this is part of what Derrick Henry was mentioning in the post game about staying humble and not that these guys are going to get cocky or complacent or anything like that. They are very healthy. I mean, they are in a position where, I mean, the most notable player they've had on IR is Arthur Millette,
I would
who,
call it uncanny, given that you and I've sat here for 20
I
years
mean,
and talked
for
about,
6 weeks.
week six, somebody's gone and they don't have anybody go. I'm knock on wood. I don't want to be the jinx, but
Yeah.
it's uncanny health. It really
But
is.
it's not even about being the jinx because they're going to lose someone at some point, right? I mean, that's just how this works. But you want to be in a position where you're avoiding losing your most important players. I mean, you just mentioned, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, just an absolute shame because I mean, he was, you know, he's been so big for the rise of the Detroit Lions over the last couple of years. But you also understand that, you know, part of being humble and part of keeping your head to the ground and just plugging away and focusing on that week's opponent and not getting too full of yourselves and not looking ahead too far is understanding how fleeting this is. Because you know, if something happens to Lamar Jackson or, you know, throw Derrick Henry into that conversation or Zay Flowers, then that drastically alters your season. And that's the case for anyone. That's not unique to the Ravens. I mean, that's any team, any great team that loses specifically their quarterback or someone that is just so extraordinarily important at another position, then you're talking about it in different terms. I mean, you famously talked about it, 2020, infamously, maybe would be the better word, when Ronnie Stanley went down with that ankle injury, that season-ending ankle injury. You said it, and I couldn't really strongly disagree with you that the Ravens' chances of winning the Super Bowl may have just gone out the door at that point in time, in what was it, early November or whatever it was. So you always know that. So when you have good health, when you have the kind of roster that is robust and complete, and look, this pass defense still has work to do, and we'll get into that in another segment. There were things that I liked about their defense more so than we saw in Cincinnati the week before, but that group still has a long way to go. And maybe that's another part of this. As we're talking about Derrick Henry and the offensive line and just how this offense has come together and looks dynamic and unpredictable and versatile and can do all these different things. They've scored touchdowns on 17 of their last 20 trips inside the red zone since that Kansas City game where they struggled in the red zone a little bit. I mean, these are the kind of things that are championship caliber qualities. But what's different about this team to this point in the season, and that's fully acknowledging that things can get better and things can evolve, and you're only 6 weeks in. And in fairness to the defense, they played a pretty good run of quarterbacks and opposing offenses. So I think it's important to keep that perspective. I don't think this pass defense in its totality at the end of the season is going to be horrendous by any stretch, because they played a pretty tough slate of quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew in the Raiders game, just put that aside because that's the whole head scratcher, right? We're going to be scratching our head about that one even in February if the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl. We're going to look back at that game and say, how in the world did that happen? So they faced a tough slate of opposing quarterbacks and offenses, but for the Ravens to go on this run that they have over the last 4 weeks with these four wins, and they've done it with, let's face it, other than the Buffalo game, the defense not playing very well. I mean, stopping the run, yes, but the defense collectively giving up too many points and too many big plays and inopportune penalties and all those different things. So this offense, unlike last year, or even go back to the second half of 2019, even though early that season their defense was choppy as well, it's been the offense carrying the heaviest load, right? Eat by far. I mean, it's been the offense that's absolutely doing the heaviest lifting here. So, yeah, you want to get better defensively and you want to be able to give up fewer big plays, and you need to get better inside the red zone with your defense. There's no question about that. And they're going to continue to chase that. But when you consider that they've still gone 4-2 and they've won four straight and they've scored the points they have, and they are as healthy as they are to date, I mean, these are things that excite you. These are things that create optimism because, it still feels it. And Zay Flowers said this, that they can still get better offensively. And I think I agree with them. And that's
Oh, I
saying a
agree
lot.
with that
And
wholeheartedly. I do.
that doesn't mean that you're going to start averaging 40 points a game.
I
I
mean, Mark
think.
Andrews just like showed up in the huddle yesterday, like literally,
Right.
like there's growth here. There
Well,
really
and I
is.
think more specifically, it's the offensive line, right? I think it's the offensive line being able to be more consistent. But I mean, as much as we talk about the O-line and we've talked about Derrick Henry and the rushing numbers, go look at how many times Lamar's been sacked this year compared to this time last year with the more veteran group. Now, I think that's a credit to these guys growing and improving, but I also think it's very much a credit to, we're seeing a Lamar Jackson that just has such a good command of this offense in its totality. And I don't just mean as a passer. I don't just mean as a runner. I mean pre-snap and looking at whatever coverage look or whatever front he's getting, and checking out of plays and putting them in a position where if the protection doesn't look right, then they need to make an adjustment. I think you're seeing Lamar doing more and more of those things. And I know Todd Monken and John Harbaugh, they talked about him doing more of that as last year went on. But I think you're seeing that carry over to this year where, okay, I don't think just man on man, five man protection. And if you talked about the Ravens just being in true pass sets, that they necessarily, they don't have the best offensive line in the league or anything close to that. But I think that they have a quarterback, they have a play caller, they have a system in place that is getting the most out of what they have with that offensive line. And in turn, that group is getting better and growing more confident every week. So again, I keep coming back to not wanting to make it about one guy, even if Lamar Jackson is playing at an MVP level again, or even if Derrick Henry coming in has worked and been a smashing success to this point in time and everything that they could have envisioned this being, it's looked like that. And even if Zay Flowers has taken the next step in his second year at becoming the top wide receiver, and Rashad Bateman's taken a step forward, and you have Isaiah Likely, and to your point, Mark Andrews kind of coming out of witness protection the last couple of weeks, as a pass catcher. All of this is just fitting together really, really well. And again, they're doing it with some pressure being put on from a standpoint of knowing your defense is having its issues and is giving up points. And this has not been a good scoring defense, and it's been a bad pass defense through 6 weeks. So for this offense to do what it's doing and understanding it can still get a little bit better, and certainly get more confident, when you're talking about some of the young guys are counting on. But then if you couple that with what we typically expect a Ravens defense to do, which is get better as the year goes on, and I still think it's a really talented group. I don't think it's a case where they're maybe safety has been disappointing with Marcus Williams, and I don't think Eddie Jackson's played very well. By the way, you saw Ardarius Washington playing some too high safety instead of Eddie Jackson in the second half. I thought that was interesting. Maybe that position hasn't lived up to expectations and isn't going to necessarily be as stout as maybe we thought. But I
Helps
still
if they
think
catch
that,
the ball too when it gets thrown to them.
well, sure. But I still think collectively that defense can get better. And if they do, man, you're talking about any opponent that's going to be able to beat this team, you're going to have to be a really, really good football team, a really balanced football team, because we've seen it the last couple of weeks. Commanders, good offense, not so good defense. Same thing with the Bengals the week before. They haven't been able to win shootouts. They haven't been able to turn it into a shootout successfully. I mean, the Bengals, if they make a kick, then we're talking about it in different terms. But the point is, you've got to play at a really high level to beat this Baltimore Ravens team right now. And that's with their defense not even close to firing on all cylinders. So if they get that up to par a little bit more, if they can get that pass defense complementing what's an elite run defense a little bit more as the year goes on, then I mean, this team's going to be incredibly difficult to beat. But again, week to week, 6 weeks in, understanding long way to go. Need to keep guys fresh, need to keep guys healthy. You want Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in mid-October. You want those guys to look the same exact way come January, because that's what really matters. They've been here before. With a team that's in first place and winning four in a row and surging and playing with confidence. But man, it's tough not to look at this thing and be excited, because this offense continues to grow, continues to evolve. It's not predictable. I mean, Zay Flowers does what he does in the first half, and then he's not even targeted in the second half. And oh, it's just an opportunity to get other guys to join in on the fun. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. So they're having fun and they're playing at a high level. And that 0-2 start feels like a long time ago already. And that's really a testament to Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and company.
Baltimore greater than Washington again, 30-23. Big victory for the Ravens over the Commanders. Although their fans spent all the money and made their way back down to Ashburn and Woodbury and all the other little places they have down there, having a good time in Arlington. Luke's going to be here all week. He's Baltimore Luke. We are focused on football. Obviously, a weird week with the Tampa game and the situation down there. I got family, I got friends down there sending me pictures. It's unbelievable. I don't know how they're going to play a football game down there next Monday, but we're going to try to figure that out. Baker Mayfield's waiting around after breaking the hearts in Oklahoma and Texas and other parts as well. He'll be waiting for us next week as well. Luke and I'll be around all week. A little baseball, a little birthday conversation. We had some delicious pizza at Pizza John's over the weekend, so we'll hear about that. And I'm putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour as well as the Maryland Oyster Tour together for you out at Baltimore Positive. If you haven't checked out any of my writings, any of Luke's writings, you can do all of that at Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We're going to sit around here and talk football all week long. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Lamar and King Henry in Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.